I'm Kevin.
And I'm Stephanie.
And during our marriage, we have dealt with an electrocution, a brain tumor, brain surgery.
Then doctors telling us that children were not in our future, followed by miscarriage, and then Kevin's cancer diagnosis.
However, today, we live a life completely healed and restored with three healthy children who doctors said were not possible. And we're here to tell stories that inspire, give hope, and brighten your day. Welcome to...
Tell Us a Good Story.
This episode is being presented to you by Storyside Church, where your story matters. At Storyside Church, they believe God always writes a good story.
You can join them for church online each Sunday morning on their Facebook page or watch their entire library of prior services on their YouTube channel, Storyside Church.
All right, Steph, you are going to love
this
next guest.
I think I found my spiritual person right now.
Your spirit animal?
My spirit animal and this next guest. As soon as she came on, I'm like, I found her.
I'm like, except you're yelling at her already. As soon as you got on here.
I felt the same way, so you're 100% right.
That's did when you? Know- you?
Yes, I did. It was like the minute the camera went on, your energy, I was like, yep, soul sister.
Oh, thanks. On.
Well, friends, our next guest is a longtime professional actress on Broadway and in film and TV, including playing the role of Frankie Valli's wife in the movie Jersey Boys. She is also a speaker, best-selling author, and founder and CEO of Master Communicators. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to Tell Us a Good Story, Renee Marino.
Renee Marino!
Thank you.
Happy to be here. I love both of you. I love what you're doing, and I love telling stories. So there you go.
Oh, thank you. Here's the thing. You and Renee, I've talked to Renee. I talked to you one time for about 10 minutes on the phone, right? We were introduced by a mutual friend of ours, Bob Bodine. And I told Steph, I had a 10-minute conversation with you. I'm like, Steph, her energy was on par with you. I don't know if I'm going to be able to handle this conversation with the two of you on the same call here. It might be just like overload and you're like,
I love her already. I can't wait. This is going to be fantastic.
I feel the same way, sister. Listen, this is good. We need to elevate the energy of the world. So let's like light it up in here.
Can't you tell she's an actress? I mean, look at her.
She's, you're so pretty.
I mean, it's like you've got professional lighting on you.
Girl.
It looks like you've got this professional green screen. Like, perfect.
Yes. Yes.
I like to keep it professional, you know?
Girl. How you roll. Do I hear a Jersey accent?
Yes, you do.
Oh, she's Jersey.
Yes, she is. She
yes,
is.
Girl.
Okay, so one of the things we talked about on the phone, Renee, was you had just got back from vacation to Fiji.
Oh,
all right.
Yeah.
And that's one of our bucket list places,
yes.
Right? But
wait, can I talk about our bucket list? Kevin, actually, when we had our first child, he had talked about a push gift. And if you guys don't know, a push gift is like usually husbands get their wives something.
A gift after that firstborn, yes.
After that firstborn. Or even after any baby. You could have done it any child. But anyways, he's like, babe, I just want to let you know, for this push gift, I'm going to take you to Fiji. I'm like, what? I'm like, that is amazing. And then a few hours later, he's like, do you know how much it costs to go to Fiji? He's like, so then he gives me like a Dick's Sporting Goods.
By the time we got to the hospital, I'm like, hey, just so you know, I've got a catalog here.
Yes.
Pick anything you want out of this catalog stuff.
It was like Buckeye. Right?
Any gift you want,
shirt.
It's yours. Just let me know.
I'm like, how do I go from Fiji to an Ohio State sweatshirt? I'm like, dude.
But,
listen, you got to love the realness there though, right?
He did like, keep it real.
Listen, babe, you just pushed out a baby.
Yeah.
You don't got budget for this trip.
Okay, but Renee, can you tell my wife here how long it took you to go from your front door to the resort at Fiji?
33 hours.
No!
Whoa, wait, was there a delay? Was there anything?
No.
So delay?
That was us driving. We didn't fly. We're very close to Newark Airport. We flew out of JFK. So I'm counting from like the Uber ride from our house to the airport, JFK to LA, which is like 6.5 hours.
Yep.
3-hour layover, then 11 hours to Fiji.
Oh, gosh.
We got to Fiji. Then we had two small propeller planes, 45 minutes each. And we had like some hours of breaks in between there. So my husband said to me, when I was beforehand kind of being like, oh, man, I like that's a lot. And we travel a lot. And I'm like, oof. That is a lot of time in the air. And he was like, listen, we have to make this part of the adventure. Like, this is part of the voyage. We're going on a voyage. And I was like, you know what? You're right. Let's make this fun. And that's what we did. And it was the best time. We had the best travel there. We watched movies. We both slept, which was great. And then once we got there, it was just like, oh, this is why people come here. Like,
I bet.
Pure magic. And for me, it was so special because this was a trip I won through Tony Robbins back in 2020. Yes. He had this challenge called the Comeback Challenge. And it was, you know, in the heart of COVID. Every day he would come into the Facebook group and teach like he does, deliver so much value. And then the homework would be to go live on Facebook and talk about whatever the theme was for that day. So every day I'd go live on video and I would get all these messages from people in the group being like, how'd you do that? Can you teach me how to do that? And I was like, what are they talking about? Like, what am I doing? And then I realized, I was like, oh, it's just getting on video and being myself. Mm. You know, that's so foreign to so many people, especially at the beginning of COVID. So every day they'd pick three people's videos that stood out. And then at the end of that week, the very last announcement from his national speaker, Carissa Kuchis, she said, one person showed up every day, 100% delivered value to the group. Renee Marino, you just 5 days to Tony Robbins private resort in Fiji. And I was like, what?
Oh my gosh, no. Private resorts.
Yes. So that's where we stayed. And it was absolutely gorgeous. So it is worth it. You must take the trip. I would give you the advice, stay for like 2 weeks if you're going to travel that far.
Yeah.
And don't take kids.
Yes.
Can you imagine?
No.
33 hours.
Did you take kids or was it just you two?
No. So we don't have children. So it's just my husband and I. So we just took that trip, him and I, and our backpacks, which were the size of children. But otherwise, I can't imagine taking kids on that trip.
No.
But up to you if you do, but you should go, just the two of you.
Girlfriend, it is hard for me to take a 4-hour flight to Vegas. I can't imagine 33 hours
no,
of
thanks.
A trip.
No, thanks.
I know.
So, you are a communications expert. Mm. And I saw a recent post on Instagram, and it was labeled, let me look here, want to win an argument every time. Oh. And my immediate reaction, Renee, was yes, because I haven't won an argument with my wife since 04,
no,
right?
No, he hasn't.
When we got married. Mm-mm. So, do you have any tips for husbands who are having, quote, a passionate conversation with their spouse? Do you have any tips, advice on how to handle that?
Yes. One of the best things that you can do, husband, wife, anything in between, is step into the shoes of being what I call a complete listener. And that's listening to hear and not just to respond. And especially in relationships, trust me, my husband and I, we know each other better than ourselves. We're so close. So because of that, when we're in arguments sometimes, like I want to cut in right away and be like, no, right? I know what you're about to say and I'm going to cut you off, or he's going to cut me off. And what that does is shows the other person that you're not fully listening.
Yes.
Which then exacerbates the argument. Am I right?
Yes.
Because you're just like, you're not listening. And it's very easy for that other person to feel like they're being shut down. So do everything in your power to step back and listen in a complete way. As she's speaking to you, as the argument's brewing, take deep breaths. I say, practice what I call box breathing. It's a powerful technique used by Navy SEALs, professional athletes, actors. And what this does is it allows you to calm your nervous system down so you're not reacting. And then you can focus. And then I'm going to remind myself I don't have to jump right in to speak or cut her off. By leaving a few moments of space, embracing the silence, as I call it, that's what allows you to absorb what was just said. And then when you react, it's from a more authentic place because you're not jumping in to speak from a place of reaction, anger, frustration. Yeah. You're letting it settle first before you speak.
It's so true, because Kevin, I'm going to let you know right now, he will already have something geared up in his head of how he wants to respond. And I'm like, I didn't even say that. Like, he's already planning his attack. Without me even saying that comment.
I'll tell you what. I'm glad, though, you're not Renee. If you were Renee and a master communicator, you'd be like, listen, this is on you. I'm the master communicator.
Yes.
I have a company, a master communicator.
This is the best part, Kevin.
This is on you.
I can't tell you how many times my husband would be like, oh, miscommunicator.
Oh, really? All right, Steph, I'm going to test you again here. What is your favorite book of all time?
Obviously, it's the Bible, Kevin.
Yes.
Nailed it.
Very good. This time you didn't say the book we wrote called You Met Her Where.
But it's still a really good book.
That is true.
And it would make a great gift for friends or relatives on their birthday or for Christmas.
Friends, you can order your copy of our book titled You Met Her Where at kevinandsteph.com. And we will make sure to personally sign a copy for you or whoever you want.
And as always, thank you for listening to Tell Us a Good Story.
So Renee, you grew up in Jersey, right? Mm-hmm. As you can tell.
Yeah, Steph, I can tell.
Right? We see so many movies about Jersey.
And most
of it is mob related, right? Yeah. Even Jersey Boys, but The Sopranos, Boardwalk Empire. But then you've got Jersey Shore, you've got
Cake Boss,
uh-huh. Right? So do you have any good stories about growing up in Jersey?
Oh my goodness. First of all, I absolutely love being from New Jersey. And what I love is people really underestimate it. And unfortunately, they underestimate it because of so many movies and TV shows. I mean, the Jersey Shore, oh gosh, it drives me batty because it's so many of them aren't even from New Jersey. So, you know, it gets a bad rap because of that show. And the truth is, it's called the Garden State. It's beautiful. I mean, you can go to the beach and then you could drive to New York City and then you can ski. And like, there's so much here. It's so rich in culture, diversity. I mean, it's the best. But what's funny is, you know, I did the movie Jersey Boys. Yes. I did the Broadway show. And I always say that show and that story for me is so close to home, literally and figuratively. In the musical and the movie as well, one of the lines, Tommy DeVito talks about Rahway Prison. And when I was doing the Broadway show, one day I'm backstage and he says the line about Rahway Prison. And all of a sudden you hear cheers from the audience. You hear some people start clapping. And my coworker's like, who's cheering for Rahway Prison? I'm like, oh, that's my aunt. My aunt Jackie's here with the family. I live down the street from Rahway Prison. So they're really proud. But it's just so funny because Jersey people, we have pride where we come from. And whether it's being down the street from a prison or it's talking about food all the time, whatever it may be, there's a lot of pride.
Okay, so speaking of Broadway, what is a Broadway audition like?
Oh, yes.
Is it like you have hundreds of girls, Renee, showing up for like two parts? Like, how does that work?
It is like nothing you've probably ever experienced. And since I was a little girl, my dream was to perform on Broadway. And when it was time for me to pursue college, I was like, okay, the one true love I have is musical theater. And then my final semester of college, I start auditioning, like in the real world, in New York City. And let me tell you guys, there is nothing glamorous about it.
Really?
Yeah. And you're not a part of the union. So the union is called Equity. So when you first start out, you usually don't have your Equity card. So you got to wait on those long lines. Sometimes I'd be there. I'd trek into the city with my big backpack with dance shoes, music books, snacks, water, change of clothes. And you sit on that line. Sometimes you're outside in the cold. It's 5 a.m. And there are endless amount of women. Oftentimes, they look just like you because they're looking for a certain type. And you have to persevere. I feel like perseverance is the biggest representation of the quality you need to be a Broadway performer because it's full of instability. You know, when you first start out, you think, as long as I love it and it's my passion, I'll be great. But I always tell aspiring artists that I teach and talk to, I say, it's also important to be really aware of the lifestyle. If you're someone who's not comfortable with sometimes living paycheck to paycheck, being on top of the world one day when you're in a Broadway show and the next day it closes and you're back to square one, you have to be aware of that too. So in on audition, so you're waiting online, then you finally get inside, you're in a, let's take a dance audition first. You're in a room with, it could be up to 300-500 girls, and sometimes they do what's called typecasting. And that means they bring you in a room before you even do any dance move and they put you in lines and the people behind the table, whether it's just the director or the director and the casting director, they sit there and they stare at you and they look at all the girls and then they whisper and they say, okay, you stay. Everyone else, thank you so much. And if you didn't get called, you don't even get to audition. So
this is before you even say a word.
Before you say a word, I mean, that's why I say I believe it's one of the hardest industries out there because it's often not based on your talent. Kevin, Steph, I could be the best dancer in the room, but if they're looking for someone 6 feet tall and I'm 5'2", I'm not getting the job. So that's why it takes such guts. It takes such a thick skin, as we call it here in New Jersey, a thick skin to really practice and not taking everything personally, because it is tough on the ego, let me tell you. But when it's something you really love, just like anything else, you say to yourself, all right, I have to get through the tough times to get to the gold.
So what was it like the very first time that you were selected?
You're cast in a Broadway role.
Oh my gosh. I literally said to the casting director, I think I just peed my pants. I mean, it was surreal. Before I got my Broadway debut for many years before that. So right out of college, the day after my college graduation, I was on a plane to Biloxi, Mississippi to be the lead singer in a casino show out there, which was amazing for 3.5 months.
Okay.
First professional job. And I'll tell you this because this is a great story. I'm 21 years old. I'm in Biloxi, Mississippi. Now, I had been singing, dancing, performing my entire life, but this was the first time I got paid for it.
Right.
And I go on my balcony in my hotel room and I'm overlooking the Gulf and I call my mom and I'm like, Mom. And I'm like crying. I'm like, I just got my first paycheck. I just got paid to do what I love. And it was like the greatest feeling because I would do it for free. Like, that's how much I loved it. And to get paid for that was just like mind blowing to me. So that was such a special moment. And then after I did that, I started touring the world. I did the 25th anniversary tour of Cats, Disney's High School Musical, Jersey Boys. So I was on the road for like a total of 3.5 years. And then I was like, okay, I'm ready to come back to New York. I'm ready to get that Broadway debut. And once that happened, it was absolutely surreal because you work your entire life for this moment. And then it happens and you're like, oh my goodness.
Yes.
Incredible.
So you mentioned this a few minutes ago, Renee, but I'd love to hear your perspective because I don't think a lot of people understand the hundreds of rejections that actors and actresses get.
Hundreds, try thousands and thousands.
Thousands of rejections, right? Which most people can't handle. So how does that work? How do you handle that and not let it bother you?
I love that you just asked me this because this now, what I speak about on stages all over the world is the ability to create real connections with people through communication. And the first step of that is having strong communication with yourself. And that means having that connection and conversation with yourself every day. I'm a big journaler, big proponent of journaling. And every day checking in with myself, Renee, how are you feeling? What can you work on today? What are you struggling with? And having clarity around what's going on within and reminding yourself that all I can focus on is what I have control over. So let me give you an example. If I go into an audition and I get cut because I have dark hair, I'm a brunette, and they're looking for a blonde, well, I'm not going to be upset about that. I can't change it. I mean, right. Yeah, I could dye my hair, but I mean, what am I going to do? Or they say, Renee, you're 5'2", we need someone 6 feet. Or if they say, Renee, you look too Italian, we need someone who has blonde hair and blue eyes. I'm not going to get upset over those things because those are the things out of my control. Mm. But what I do get upset over are the things I have control over. How prepared I am, how ready I am, how much I've set my mind in the right place before I walk into that audition. Now, if I walk in and I was out the night before and I didn't get a lot of sleep and I walked in and I kind of bombed the audition, that's when I would be upset because I'm like, Renee, you know you can do better.
That's on you.
So,
yeah.
And it's so important because that is really one of those factors that can make or break those who make it and those who don't.
Steph, what is one of the most asked questions we get about tell us a good story?
Do I really get that excited?
Besides that one.
Oh, how do we get all these incredible guests?
Correct. Yes. And some of our best conversations have been with guests who our listeners have reached out to us and said, you should talk to this person. To name just a few, Nick Vujicic, Coach Tom Ryan, Carol Motika were all recommendations from our listeners.
So if there's someone you would like us to interview and think they might be a great fit for Tell Us a Good Story, please let us know at kevinandsteph.com. You don't even have to personally know them.
True, but do me a favor. Before you submit their names, please make sure they are still alive. That has actually happened, and it is super hard for me to find their contact information.
But regardless, thank you for listening to Tell Us a Good Story.
All right, Nate. All right, Renee.
I love that you said nay. That's what all the closest friends call me.
Oh, really? Nay. I did it by accident.
You're so close. We're the close friends.
Okay, Nay. So for all of our guests, I like to give a list of fun facts to let listeners know what you've done, what you've accomplished. And Steph is not aware of any of these. You are going to see her genuine, authentic response. This should bring on some fun stories. And if I'm wrong on any of these, please let me know. Okay. Keep me honest. All right, okay. Steph. Fun fact number one. At the age of 5 years old, Renee's dream was to become a Broadway performer. She has now performed in numerous Broadway roles, like she's mentioned, West Side Story, Wonderland, and as Frankie Valli's wife in Jersey Boys. However, no one in Renee's family was a performer, nor did they know anything about the entertainment industry.
Uh-huh.
So, Renee, when you told your parents and you started pursuing this type of goal, what was their reaction? Because I'm assuming they did not understand and didn't want to lead you down a certain path.
Well, from the get-go, the first thing that I started doing was dancing. So my parents, most supportive people in the world, and the opposite of stage parents. You know what I mean? Like, my mom wasn't the one being like, that's my daughter. Like, she'd be in the audience and be like, yeah, that's her. Like, so they were so supportive. I mean, they drove me to every voice lesson, every dance class, and always fully supported me. When I said it was time for me to choose a major in college, a lot of my family members, even some of my dance mentors, my dance teacher, they were all like, well, Renee, you really should have something to fall back on, right? That whole, okay, you have to have a plan B. They have to have a plan B. And I just kept following my gut and my heart. And I was like, no, I don't need a plan B. I'm going to do this. And even though they had moments where they're like, oh, Renee, you know, this business is really unstable, they still supported me all throughout. So I feel such gratitude for that, because not everyone has that support.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to say they didn't think I was cuckoo cuckoo at point. Like, you know, especially in the dance world, right? Oh, you have to be tall and, you know, long to be a dancer. And here I am, 5'2", petite. And I'm like, it's all right. I'm going to do it. And I'm sure, if we interview probably people in my past and my past mentors, they're probably thinking like, Renee, okay, good luck. And now they may be like, well, good thing she followed her heart and her gut. But I have to say, I'm very lucky in that sense that I had great support.
If you like what you hear, please tell someone about us. As soon as this episode is over, go tell your spouse, your closest friend, a parent, a coworker, or share one of our posts on social media.
However, if you don't like what you're hearing, please do not.
Don't tell anyone.
Don't tell anyone.
Don't tell anybody.
Just disregard this message.
Don't worry about
it. Forget about us.
Yep.
Go on with your merry day.
And to get more information about us or our entire catalog of episodes, be sure to check us out at kevinandsteph.com. Thank you for listening to Tell Us a Good Story.
All right, Steph, next fun fact.
Okay.
4 years ago, Renee became a professional communication coach. It was named by Yahoo Finance as one of the top 10 communication coaches to follow by 2021.
Mm-hmm.
She was the co-host of Tony Robbins and Dean Graziosi's first ever virtual world summit. So what led you, Renee, to kind of pivot in your career and do something completely different and become an entrepreneur and become a professional speaker and coach?
It really was like 2017 to 2019 when we did the first workshop of Pretty Woman the Musical. And at that time, I've always known I've wanted to write a book. I've always written personalized children's books. I write them for my nieces, my nephews, my cousins. But I knew I always wanted to have like my own book published. And in 2017, no joke, it was the night before Thanksgiving. And I'm watching Charlie Brown Thanksgiving on the TV, and I'm in my living room. And I was like, Renee, I am so sick of hearing you talk about wanting to write a book. Just sit down and write the first line. Like, I was like, you know, when you get like that, you're like, you keep talking about this thing you want. We talk, but it's like, where's the action? Mm-hmm. So I just sat down and wrote the first line, even though I didn't know where to go from there. I didn't know exactly what I wanted the book to be about. I mean, I wanted it to be about communication, but the specificity around that, I didn't know. And then I go to a restaurant with a friend, we're catching up, and next to us, it's a family of five. And the entire meal, no one spoke,
yes,
no one connected, because they all had their heads down in a digital device. And I looked over and my heart sank because I knew that they were missing out on beautiful mm-hmm. opportunities for connection by worrying about what was on the other side of that screen. And that's when the light bulb went off. And I said, this is what I need to shine a light on. I need to help people balance these worlds of new school technology with what I call that old school simplicity way of communicating. So I start writing the book as I'm doing Pretty Woman. So now we open on Broadway. And as I was doing the show, you guys, I would get off stage, my makeup on, my costume, and the crew guys would let me use their office and I would write my book. So when the show closed in 2019, I had this feeling, again, following my gut, and I go, I'm ready to activate my other gifts of speaking. I want to get this book out there. And I didn't know exactly what that looked like, but I just knew that I was ready to activate these other gifts within me. So I saw Tony Robbins and Dean Graziosi pop up on Facebook talking about this course, and I decided to take it. And not even a month later, the world shuts down. Talk about divine timing. I wouldn't have been able to perform even if I was trying to pursue that. So the first thing I started to do was help business owners, entrepreneurs to get on camera and be themselves with confidence. Cause again, it was like it was the start of COVID.
Yes.
So I start, you know, developing these real connections through video alone. And 6 months later, Tony and Dean reached out to me to be their co-host for their first ever World Summit.
So she just took some of my fun facts, right? Because in 2022, she did write that book.
Yes.
And as you can imagine, it became a bestseller.
Uh-huh.
Titled Becoming a Master Communicator. With that, though, she recently spoke at Madison Square Garden at a conference that included Martha Stewart, Alex Rodriguez, David Goggins, and Stephen A. Smith.
What?
So
that was just last week, you guys. It was unbelievable.
So as a Jersey girl, right, being on stage at the legendary MSG, what was it like? Was your family there rooting for you with signs, all of that? What was that like? Oh my gosh.
I had around like 30 people there from my family, friends, my Broadway friends. It was so beautiful. And it was early. Let me tell you, I was the opening speaker. Like that was
really?
So cool. I opened it up, baby. I got everybody going. And it was one of the most magical days of my life. It was so special, as you said, again, being from New Jersey to be speaking at Madison Square Garden with these heavy hitters was beyond what I could ever dream of. And it reminded me of that first time that I played Mary on Broadway in Jersey Boys, that same feeling, like I'm like, my family can come right through the Lincoln Tunnel and see me. They don't have to fly to Boston or fly here or fly there. Like they can fly right in their backyard, not fly, drive.
Right.
Yeah.
So it was really a beautiful, beautiful day.
Oh, I love that.
Well, listeners, for more information about Renee, or as we call her, Nay. You can go to her Instagram at I am Renee Marino. Her website is reneemarino.com. And please go to that website, go to Amazon to get her book titled Becoming a Master Communicator. And she is giving our audience a free gift, which we will put a link in our show notes to that gift and her website and all of this. You can just click on it and go right to that. Well, Renee, this was so much fun. It wasn't energy overload like I was expecting. So
no,
this was a good balance. But thank you so much for saying yes to us.
You guys are amazing. Seriously, like such great hosts. All of those facts that you had, thank you for having them all. And thank you for them all being correct. Right? I can't tell you how many times I'll go on shows and they'll be like, yeah, you did this in 1998. And I'm like, no, I didn't. Where'd you get that from?
Oh. Well, thank you.
You guys, seriously, I just want to hang out with you. So,
oh, we would love that.
If you're ever in New York or New Jersey, you have to call me.
Yes.
No, really. Definitely. Definitely. Like, thank you for having me. Thank you for being so lovely. All I look forward to is meeting you in person so we can hug and have a cup of coffee. That would be really wonderful.
She said hug. You know that's my word.
She doesn't social distance.
I do not. It was not my friend, Renee.
Oh, that was like torture.
Yes.
Like what feels most uncomfortable to you is like social distancing and not being able to touch or hug somebody. It's like, nope, not for me.
Oh, I didn't do it. People were getting a hug. Didn't matter. I'm like, sorry, you're still getting a hug. That's how we roll here.
Right.
That's my soul sister.
Yes.
Thank you, Renee.
Thanks, Renee.
Friends, thank you for listening to this episode of Tell Us a Good Story.
For additional content and longer episodes, you can go to our website at kevinandsteph.com or wherever you like to listen to podcasts.
And don't forget, you can catch us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 a.m. right here on the AM/FM 24/7 network. Thank you for listening to
Tell Us a Good Story.